If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 3, and we are continuing our series in Colossians. I wanted you to do this before we started, is think back to a time in your life that you, if you could, you would go back to. I think about a month ago, I met up with an old friend, someone who I knew from my first church, and we were just kind of reminiscing about like our time in the first church, in that ministry, And what's interesting is there's certain parts of each of our lives that we think about oh yeah, it would be great to go back to like this stage of my life or to this moment in my life or to this period. And what's interesting to me about that is a lot of times the places we want to go back to, they aren't times usually of great success or great achievement. Typically, the places we think about again and again, the places we want to go back to are times in our lives where we had community, where we had friendships and relationships that were especially deep, that were especially strong. Where we had a circle of friends, or where we were in a particular church, or where things were happening in our relationships that were really important and vital for our lives at the time. And you know, it's just one more thing that shows us that we are people who long for community, who need other people. You know, that as much as sometimes we want to get away from people, you know, as much as sometimes we want to escape sometimes, we are people who need community, who long for community. Right? Those are the times we imagine. Those are the times we want to go back to. It was when there is fellowship and relationships. And like I said, for me, I can think of a couple different spots in my life that, if I could, I wouldn't mind going back to. You know, I think back to college, and I remember my last year for me, which was my fifth year. I did 5 years in college. And I remember, you know, being a part of fellowship and just kind of the camaraderie and the friendship and just the, you know, the warmth of being around the same people and having this depth of relationship. I think to my first church, and, you know, I remember back to, you know, when everything was kind of really good in terms of relationships, when community was good. I can think back to youth group, different times. And for me, a lot of those times kind of revolved around church, whether I was a believer at the time or whether I wasn't. But they're reminders of how much we look for, how much we want, and how much we need relationships. I think one of the things that struck me is that, you know, as we get older, community does seem to be harder to find. Right? It seems to be harder to find people to connect with. We seem to have less time. There's less avenues. And even with kind of all this that social media promises of connecting us to people, it really doesn't. Right? It gets us involved in people's lives, but we don't feel that sense of deep connection. And I bring it up because we're continuing in the series in Colossians. And if you remember, the letter to the Colossians is written to a church that is struggling. You know, what the church is struggling with is they have these false teachers coming in, and these false teachers are telling them that they need more than just the gospel. The gospel isn't enough. Jesus Christ isn't enough, right? The false teachers are coming in saying, you know, it's nice that you believe in Jesus. It's nice that the gospel has changed your life, but now you need this other stuff. And what Paul does is Paul comes back, he says, that other stuff that they say you need, worthless. It's worthless. All you really need is you need Christ. And so we've actually gotten to the second half of the letter where Paul is starting to show this church and show us how Jesus does make everything better, how he changes all the basic structures and relationships in our lives. And so last week we looked at how Jesus makes our spiritual life different. This week we're looking at how Jesus changes our relationships, our community, our church. And we're going to see through it. We're gonna get a better sense of what we are, what we're to do, and what Jesus is turning us into. But as we go through the passage today, we're gonna see three ways that Jesus does change us as a community, three ways he does change us as a church. Okay, so the first thing is this. I think the first thing we see is Jesus makes us a new society. Okay, if you go into verse 9, it says this. Paul says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its old practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Now, I want you to notice kind of what's happening in those three verses. Paul is telling them that there's certain things they should stop doing, they should put off, certain things they should start doing, he says put on. But they're not just actions. They're also attitudes. They're also ways in which they relate to each other. And what he's showing is that when you become a Christian, it makes you a different person. It makes you a person with a different identity, someone with a different purpose, with a different power. But it also changes the nature of every single relationship in your life, that no relationship is left the same. And when we get to verse 11, we see that. We see that he says, here then, speaking about the church, he says, when this happens, he says, here then is not Jew or Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And in verse 11, he says, the gospel that changes you as an individual makes your community completely different. And we get a picture of that. He says, one of the things that it does is it eradicates all the divisions, all the hatreds, all of the things that make you, in your mind, different, better, worse. It changes all those things. Right? He says that there's no more divisions like that. And again, in verse 12, he says, put on, not just as individuals, but he says, as a church, as God's chosen and holy ones. Right? He says, put on compassion, meekness, patience, right? So what I want you to notice is that Jesus is saying, what Paul is saying is that Jesus doesn't just change your personal life. I think that's the part that we're familiar with, right? That when Jesus comes in, our lives, our personal lives are different. We as people, we as individuals are now different people. We are a new creation in Christ. Paul goes a step further. He says, not only does the gospel change you, not only does Jesus change you as a person, he changes you as a community. Right? He turns you into a new society. And if you want to think about that this way, one of the things he turns us into as a church is he turns us into an expression of the kingdom of God. Right? He says, you are now something completely different. One of the things I love about Jesus when he begins to go around and preach and teach is he doesn't say, hey, the kingdom of God is near. When Jesus arrives, he says, the kingdom of God is here. Right? He says that he's bringing a sense of change that will actually change the things in our world now. And when it comes to community, Paul is saying that when Jesus comes to reign in your heart and when he comes to reign in the hearts of the people around you, your community, your relationships become different. You become a new community, a new people, a new thing. You become a body. And you know, it's important to remember that, right? When Jesus reigns in our hearts together, we become a new community, a new people. And you know, in the Bible, we see that the church is a uniquely different community. There's nothing like it in the entire world. Now, let me kind of explain why that's important, right? Why is that significant? Here's the reason why it's significant. There are lots of people who are looking for community. You don't have to be a Christian to be, you don't have to be a Christian going church to church to church to be looking for community. One thing that I've noticed is a lot of the non-Christians we've known over the years, our neighbors, co-workers, other people that we've met, everyone's looking for community. Everyone's looking for friendships. Everyone's looking for these relationships, these communities that they can belong to, that they can feel comfortable with, places that they live their lives in. Everyone's looking for community. Yesterday at the open house, I had a handful of conversations with a bunch of different people who were, visiting. They wanted to see what the church was like, or they saw some stuff out there, and they wanted their kids to be able to come and play on the bounce house or different things. And I think in every single conversation, at some point, they mentioned community, right? They said how they were looking for community, or or they needed community, or they wished the neighborhood was a better community so that they felt a sense of togetherness, all these different things about community. And what struck me was everyone is looking for community, but But there's a problem. Now, essentially, there's a problem with community, and all of us know what they are. There's two big problems with community. The first one is this. Most communities aren't that deep. Right, for most communities, it's easy to go to your neighbor and say, hi, you know, welcome to the neighborhood. It's easy to do that. It's easy to be nice to a coworker. But a lot of people in our lives, it doesn't really go that deep. Right? It's niceties. It's, you know, how are you doing? It's how was your weekend? It's maybe you start getting a little bit into more personal things, but it doesn't go very deep. You know, one of the problems with community is that I think in a lot of ways they don't get as deep as we need. Coworkers end up just staying coworkers. Neighbors end up staying neighbors. People that we meet, you know, other parents on our kids' sports teams or PTA, they just stay acquaintances. And we might like them, we might share some of the same values or some of the things, but it's really hard to find a sense in which we feel connected. And that's one of the big problems. I think the other problem a lot of you are familiar with also, second problem that happens in community is this. When you actually find depth, what you actually find along with depth is you find yourself getting hurt. All right, that's a big problem in community. Right, whether it's college friends, whether it's coworkers, whether it's neighbors, if you get deep, relationally deep with people, at some point you know that you're going to get hurt. You know that something's going to happen. There's going to be a disagreement. There's going to be an annoyance. Someone is going to gossip about something, or they're going to do something that is either misunderstood or properly understood, and you'll be hurt. And, you know, we know those things are coming. And so, you know, we know we need community. People are looking. They're desperate for community. But at the same time, most people are scared to actually jump into community because they know what's going to happen. If they're there long enough, they're going to get hurt. And to a large degree, unfortunately, like that is true. But you see, to that, what Paul says is that God has made the church something different. The church is not like all those other communities out there, right? What God has intended is the church is meant to be a group of God's people, and God's people together are meant to be a new community, a new society, a new thing. And it's supposed to be a place where there's relational depth and where you can be vulnerable and not worry about getting hurt. Now, here's the thing that every one of you are saying as you're saying, that sounds great, but I've been hurt by people in the church. Right? I've been hurt by people. You know, you say this is supposed to be a new community. You say that it's supposed to be a place where there's relational depth and where people don't get hurt. I've been hurt. I think most of us, if you've been to a couple churches before, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you can say that. Here's the second thing that Paul brings up, and I think this is important. Not only is the church a new community, he says Jesus makes the church a place of healing. Go to verses 12 and 13, and Paul says this. He says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive." Now, if you notice, verse 12, he says, as a collection, as a church, as God's people, take on these characteristics, take on these traits. And all the traits are relational, right? He says compassion. He says kindness. He says humility. He says meekness. He says patience. Those are all kind of relational traits. Right, they're things that make community better. They're things that make community stronger. Now, he goes a step further, and he also says this. Verse 13, he says, "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." Now, why would, you know, if he's saying become compassionate and kind and humble and meek and patient, if we really became that, why would he need to say the second part, right? Why would he need to say bear with one another and forgive each other? Well, because Paul understands something, right? He understands the dual reality. That as a church, as God's people, we are a different society. We are different, right? The gospel has come in, we are different people. And that changes everything in our society, everything in our community. But we are still people who struggle with sin, right? And that doesn't change until we get to heaven. We are still people who are prone to sin. And so in community, there are times where we sin and where we get sinned against. There are times where people sin against us by manipulating us or trying to take advantage of us. There are times where people hurt us or we hurt people. Paul recognizes and God understands that we are, you know, that we are a new people, but the other part of the reality that's still there is we are still steeped in our sin. But what Paul is saying is this, and I think this is really important to understand. Despite that, the church is meant to be the place where we learn to heal and where we experience healing. I don't know the last time you guys were at the hospital. The older I get, the more serious my hospital visits are. Last time I went in personally, I went in because I was having this back pain that made my leg hurt, and I couldn't. I actually had to call I had to call 911, and I had to be taken over to the hospital because I couldn't move. I couldn't kind of get up, and pain became excruciating. I think the time before that, I think I was scared that I was going to have a heart attack. So my last two times to the hospital hadn't been fun. You know, hospitals are the place that when you're hurting, when you are in trouble, I mean, that's where you go. Right? You don't feel heart palpitations and call your friend. Right? You don't feel excruciating pain, and then, you know, wander off to some public school, right? You know where to go when you're hurt. When you're hurt, when you're hurting, you go to the hospital. And the church is meant to be a hospital to some degree. It's meant to be a hospital for people who are hurting. It's meant to be a hospital for people who are in pain, who are in need. And in the church, they are supposed to find healing. In the church, they are supposed to learn how to heal. In the church, they are supposed to experience healing. That's why in verse 13 he says, bear with one another. This idea of bearing one another is showing grace to each other, right? Carrying each other's burdens, right? When someone else is hurt, then we help. When someone else is in pain, then we find a way to lift that pain. And to some degree, like, that's supposed to be happening in the church. A lot of times when people are hurting, they run away. And that's actually the worst thing you have to do. I mean, imagine going to the hospital because your leg hurt, your leg started getting worse, and you say, I got to get out of here. Right? That's the exact last thing you have to do. The church is meant to be a place that is the hospital for the soul. Not only that, but in verse 13, he goes on and he says, not only in the church, not only are you supposed to bear with one another, help each other, but you're to forgive each other. Right, that in the church there's a place that when we are hurt, when others are hurt, we bear their pain with them. When we are hurt, then we learn to forgive. And I want you to notice how different that is than any other group, any other community. Right? In verse 13, he says, this is the reason why we can do that. Verse 13, he says, bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, what? As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. See, the church becomes a place of healing when the church, when God's people truly live out what they believe. You know, one of the things that I've come to realize is there are a lot of religions that talk about forgiveness. There are a lot of religions that talk about grace, that talks about, you know, compassion towards each other, about kindness, about some of these things. I really do believe, I believe Christianity has better resources than any other religion when it comes to forgiveness. It has better resources in handling things when handling situations when you're hurt, and it has better resources from when you are hurting to be able to forgive. And what I mean by that is this. In every other religion, in every other kind of worldview, forgiveness is a command, right? Forgiveness is something that you're told to do. It's a rule, it's an instruction. And basically the only thing behind the rule is because your God says so. Why should I forgive? Why should I be gracious? Right? Why should I let go of hurt that I'm experiencing? And in other religions, the only answer they have is because God says so. God tells you to. Christianity has deeper resources. Right? For the Christian, when we're hurting, when we're being hurt, when we say, why should I forgive? The answer is always because Jesus has forgiven you. And you see, that's much deeper resources than any other religion has. Every other religion says forgive because you should forgive, because you have to forgive, because if you don't forgive, you're not a good person. Christianity says forgive because you have experienced the deepest forgiveness you could ever experience. You forgive because you've experienced a forgiveness that is far greater than any forgiveness you would ever be asked to give to anyone else. Right? It gives us these deep resources of forgiveness. Now, I've shared with some of you about how at our at our last church, our last ministry, I was there for 3 years, and when I left at the end of the 3 years, I left hurt. The church was really deeply divided, and so there was some in the church we were trying to evangelize, we were trying to grow the church, we were trying to do the things that God wanted us to be doing, and there was another part of the church where they really didn't want that. They didn't want new people coming to the church. They wanted things the way that they wanted it to be. They wanted the resources to be used the way that benefited them the most, all these different things. And towards the end of my 3 years, I ended up leaving really hurt because people were saying things about me that were untrue. They were, at the end, there was certain ways people were treating me that were really hurtful. I know that when we left, you know, my wife was kind of hurt by the things that were happening. Even our kids, they were too young to track a lot of this out, but I think even when we left, they knew something was going on. They knew things weren't right. They knew that something was happening. And there was a little part of me, I think, when we left that kind of said in my heart that said, I don't know if I want to go back to a church. You know, like all this kind of pain and all of this difficulty, all of this hurt, I don't know if I want to go back. And I did luckily it was for a very little while. I think one of the things that happened within like a month or two after that is Pastor Ken called me and he told me about this church, and I remember thinking, like, I need to find out if I can be healed. Right? I need to find out if this is just the way that it is. But we left that church, and I remember being really hurt. And there was a part of me that really thought, like, I don't know if I want to deal with this again. You know, using the metaphor of a hospital. If you go to the hospital because you're sick, because something's wrong, and if they do something to you that makes it worse, you still have to go back to the hospital. There's no way to get around that, right? You still have to go back to the hospital. It may be a different hospital, but you still have to go back to the hospital. I mean, because that's the only place you find medical help, right? Even if you're hurt at the hospital, you can't say, you know what, I'm done with hospitals, never again. You can't say that. You gotta go back to the hospital. And you know, that's true about the church too. As hard as that is, the church is meant to be the place of healing. And without it, you won't find it. And that's what some people do, right? They're hurt and they go running off because they're hurt. But it never goes away. It never goes away. And you know, I do want to say this because I think it's important to say, but you know, some of you have been hurt by your church experience. You know, some of you have been hurt, whether it's like previous church experience. Some of you might feel like you're being hurt now, you know, in this church. And I mean, if you are, you know, I am really sorry. We don't want to be a church that creates more pain in your life, that creates more difficulty, more suffering. But if you are someone who has been hurt in the past or is being hurt, you still need to know that the way that you find healing is through the church in Christ, right? Even if the hospital hurts you, you got to find a hospital to go to. You know, it's that community. And even though it's scary, you need to take that risk because it's the only place you're going to find it. You need to take that risk. But that's the second thing we see, is we see that Jesus has made the church a place of healing. Third thing that he brings up is this. Jesus makes the church your anchor to love. Go to verse 14. And as 14, he says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, testing and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." In verse 14, he says, this is the thing that is the most important thing, right? He says, and above all, he says, above all of these, above compassion and meekness and kindness and humility and patience, he says, above all these things, he says, put on love, right? He says, put on love. He says, when you do, it creates harmony and it creates peace. Again, you know what? What Paul tells us is that the church is supposed to be the most loving place in the world too. Again, unfortunately, it's not always the most loving place. But here's where I'm going with this. Whether it is or whether it's not, the church is meant to be our anchor to love. And what I mean by that is this. When Paul says this, he says, put on love, which binds all things together, perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. He's not just referencing the love that we show to each other, right? In a very powerful way, if you're a part of a church that you feel is loving, you feel the roots of that love in your life. But that's not what he's talking about. He is saying put on love. He's saying be loving, but he puts it even further down. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And so if you notice, what he's doing is he's saying that the true anchor of love, the true love that you need in your life isn't the love of other people. It isn't the love that you find in community. If you have it there, great. But the love that you truly need is the love of Christ working in your heart. That's the love that you truly need that will anchor you when everything is swirling, when everything is difficult, when everything is bad. And as a church, we want to be as loving as possible, but even more importantly, we are meant to be your anchor. This community is meant to be your anchor. In other words, it's together that we root each other into the true love that we desperately need, which is the love that we find in Jesus Christ. I actually saw this old movie. I don't know when I saw it, where I saw it, but there's this boat kind of out in the middle of the this lake, and the storm was kicking up, and when the sailors realized that the storm was going to be a lot bigger than they thought it was going to be, and as it was starting to whip up and get chaotic, they started to panic because they did have an anchor, but the anchor, what the line for the anchor wasn't long enough, and so they were in this deep part of the lake where they could throw their anchor out, but it wouldn't reach the bottom. And so they threw the anchor out, still hoping that somehow it would, you know, it would get far enough down and sink into the ground and hold them steady while the storm came. But their anchor wasn't deep enough. And so they were kind of being tossed and pushed by the wind. And the captain was trying to figure out like where the lake was shallower so that he could try to guide the boat over. And if he got it over there, then the anchor would set and the boat would be safe. In a lot of ways, that's kind of the picture that we have here. The church is your anchor, but it only works when we anchor you to something that's solid, to something that's real. And that thing that you and I constantly need to come back to, that we need as an anchor in our lives, that we need as our as the place where we truly find love and acceptance, is in Jesus Christ. And you know, what we find out through this, through these last verses, is Paul tells us how as a church we do that. He says in verse 16, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God." He says the way that we do it as a church is we center everything we do on the word of God, right? We preach the word of God. In our music, we sing the word of God. And then even, like he says, not only in our preaching, but he says that we admonish one another. Right? Admonishing is all the other conversations. He says the way that we anchor one another in Christ, the way that we anchor one another in God's love, isn't just through the preaching, it isn't just through the singing, it's also through all the other conversations that we have when our conversations point to Christ. And when that happens, then we find our anchor. We find our anchor driven into the thing that will keep us steady and stable and strong, which is Christ. You know, as a church, that's one of the things we really want to set our attention on, and we really want to do well. We want to do ministry well. We want to preach well. We want to teach well. We want to have music that glorifies God, that reflects the word to us. And we want to be a community where our conversations are about Christ too, where we encourage and admonish each other based on the word. And the reason is because in the word, we remember the one who truly loves us. Now, that is the anchor that you need. That is the anchor that you need every day of your life, every moment of your life, is that you have a love that will never fade, that will never shake. A love that is always for you, that is always giving to you, and one that is always doing your best. And the only way you can know that is if you know that Jesus' love for you is shown on the cross, that on the cross Jesus gave his life for you. If you know that, and if we remind you of that again and again, then even when everything gets chaotic, even when all the storms hit, right, you remember what keeps you solid, what keeps you strong. Let's pray together. And Father, we thank you because that is the love that we truly need. It's wonderful to have a church that is loving, and we pray that we become a more loving church, but the love that we truly need is your love, a love that grounds us, a love that strengthens us, and a love that directs us to live our lives for you because you have lived your life for us. So thank you again for all that Jesus has done, and Lord, make us that new community, a church where there's healing and where there's hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.